Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, Rams fans? This is Kenneth Arthur, and this is Turf Show Times Radio. I'm going to be coming at you much more often now that the season has begun. So make sure to subscribe somewhere if you're listening to this on turfshowtimes.com so that you can get it automatically sent to you as they come out right after each game with myself and Blaine Didasco, as well as these regular morning check-ins on the LA Rams. It's always going to be short and sweet so that you can move on to the next thing in your day. I promise you that. But today I want to talk about three final thoughts. I'm going to look to do this a couple of days after each game, but three final thoughts on the Rams' most recent game and three final thoughts on the Rams' 34-14 win over the Chicago Bears on Sunday Night Football. Obviously, that's where we're going to start since that's what just happened. And it's going to be on to the Colts here pretty soon, if not already. Of course, if you go to turfshowtimes.com, I've got a primer on the Week 2 opponent, everything you need to know about the Indianapolis Colts. But we're going to have a ton of Colts preview coverage to come in the coming days on turfshowtimes.com. So please check that out and keep checking out Turf Show Times. Follow us on our new Instagram page. It's at the expected tag, Turf Show Times. Follow us on Twitter at Turf Show Times. Like us on Facebook at Turf Show Times. Don't expect me to do a ton of plugs every episode. You're already wanting to move on to the next thing. I promise you that. I won't do a ton of plugs every episode. I'll make that promise for you. If you make the promise for me that if you're listening to this and you haven't done those things, maybe you consider just doing it, getting it out of the way, and then we won't talk about it again, okay? So let's move on then to three final thoughts. And I want to frame this as something I loved, something I hated, and something that I'm indifferent about. Let me start with something that I loved, and I think I would be a fool to talk to all of you Rams fans out there without agreeing that something I loved was the passing attack of the LA Rams with Matthew Stafford at quarterback. It's been 8 months of anticipation leading up to this moment to know and to wonder what it would be like to see Sean McVay meet up with Matthew Stafford, meet up with a pretty good offensive line, by all regards, definitely one with a lot of continuity, talented wide receivers, and, you know, all of the aura around the Rams going into the 2021 season at SoFi Stadium, you know, trying to take that next step to make that leap from being a team that is perennially contending for the playoffs into one that would, at least for the time being, contend for the Super Bowl and, you know, put out a display that would make them seem worthy of that title, a team that can win the Super Bowl, a team that should maybe win the Super Bowl. And I think we saw on Sunday night a preview of what that looks like when things mostly pretty much go right. I think that, you know, we can't get hung up too much on the final score, even though the Rams did win by 20 points. It really wasn't even that close, even though after halftime, you know, it was 13-7. So at that point, it seemed close. But, you know, I think it's okay to have a game plan that doesn't, you're not always just going to pull away, never want to fall behind. But sometimes that does happen too. But, you know, it's just a point of fact that I think that the Rams played a pretty good team, not a great team, maybe not a good team. And I guess if you add pretty to good, somehow that's a little bit less than good. So, I mean, I guess that's about where the Bears probably fall. They've got very talented players around the field, But without that quarterback, without that Matthew Stafford, the Bears without Matthew Stafford, because hey, now the Rams do have Matthew Stafford. But without that option at quarterback right now, it would seem that the Rams certainly played in a fashion that would befit a team that could win the Super Bowl. So a lot of that had to do with the play of Matthew Stafford and the ability to throw the ball deep, which we saw immediately and often from Matthew Stafford in a way that we just never saw, at least in the last 2 years, from Jared Goff. And it really is clear that the Rams are going to be able to open up the passing offense in ways that they haven't been able to do under Sean McVay yet. This was a game unlike any other in several respects, not just in the head coaching career of Sean McVay in his fifth season, but in the quarterbacking career of Matthew Stafford in his 13th season. And Matthew Stafford, you know, came into the NFL not just as a number one pick, which is of itself speaks so much of what type of prospect guys like Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff, and, you know, plenty of quarterbacks who did not live up to the hype, but what sort of prospects they were viewed as at the time of the draft. But he wasn't just the number one overall pick. There are some scouts who would talk to you and say that Matthew Stafford was the best quarterback prospect since Peyton Manning. That, you know, even in a modern sense, maybe he was the best prospect of all time at the time. I think up until Andrew Luck, you know, 3 years later, Matthew Stafford really did stand out as a prospect in the same way of a Trevor Lawrence as well. And, you know, not to speak of the way that these guys always played after they were prospects, but that's the type of quarterback that Matthew Stafford was as a prospect in the 2009 draft, a player who the Rams almost would have been able to draft if not for the Lions going 0-16, having to lose all of their games to get Matthew Stafford because the Rams were very close to being 0-16 themselves. But, you know, 13 years later with a good team, which is better for the Rams, which is better for the Stafford, which is in the present, which is the best of all, is it, with a good team now, Matthew Stafford and the Rams are at the perfect time for a marriage. 20 of 26, 320 yards, 1 yard, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, career high pass rating for Matthew Stafford in a game in his very first appearance with the Rams, career high yards per attempt, career high adjusted and net yards per attempt, which takes into account things like sacks because he was only sacked one time, and interceptions, he had none of those, and touchdowns, he had 3 of those. So that's why Matthew Stafford had one of the best games of his career from a statistical point of view, but from a practical point of view, looking at why he had one of the best games of his career, it is pretty clear it's because of all of the talent that now surrounds him in Los Angeles, the offensive talent, the defensive talent, the coaching. Clearly here now, Matthew Stafford, a guy who, as a high school senior, led a team on an historic, one of the greatest high school football teams of all time in Texas that went 15-0 at Highland Park, defeating a team in the state championship game 59-0 when that other team was ranked 5th in the nation. So that is sort of the type of success Matthew Stafford has dealt with for all of his career outside of the Detroit Lions. In high school, you know, in college with Georgia, even though they didn't meet expectations, maybe in a couple of Stafford's years, especially his junior year, you know, went 3-0 in bowl games, and Matthew Stafford then became a, you know, draft prospect, one of the most highly touted draft prospects of all time. And he managed to survive those 12 years in Detroit without ever being labeled a bust, despite the fact that the Lions were consistently such a bad team, which I think also doesn't get talked about enough. The fact that Stafford survived as long as he did with the Lions, it is a tremendous ode to what Stafford survived as the quarterback of the Lions for 12 years, to still now at this point in year 13 having never won a playoff game, having never been surrounded by a great team that would allow him a day off or a night off, which is what can happen sometimes. In that state championship game, his team won 59-0, but Stafford had no touchdowns and one interception, which happens sometimes. It was the only time all season that it happened to Stafford. But, you know, and now he's with the Rams, and you can feel like, hey, well, if he's not on, the rest of the team we know is capable of helping to lift him up. Cooper Kupp and Van Jefferson making some nice plays after the catch. Robert Woods making a great catch for his touchdown at the back of the end zone. Tyler Higbee having one of the best games of his career. So, you know, I think the offensive line and the coaching, everybody was helping Stafford out, and he had the best game of his career. And then the Rams, you know, won by 20. This was a team, the Bears, that they also beat quite easily in 2020 and has not had any issues with the Chicago recently. But it's not bad, right? It's better than the week one, barely their win over the Cowboys in 2020, but in any case, going 1-0 is great. So the Rams just have to go for 2-0 here against the Indianapolis Colts. That's something that I love, which is just I've loved that we got to see Stafford. And something that I hate, you know, I just hate that it was only one game. I just wish that we had 10 games under our belt, but at the same time, I'm terrified of getting to 10 games under our belt because I'm so excited for the fact that we still have 16 weeks left. It's like week one all over again. It's like Christmas all over again this coming week, which is exactly what the NFL wanted me to say. I'm not saying Roger Goodell is threatening me in, you know, right now behind me, but yeah, it's like Christmas all over again, this 17th game. Am I right? It's going to be 18 games soon enough, but it is, hey, I do love football, so I am not hating on the fact that they switched out one preseason game for a regular season game. I'm okay with it. I think the players are going to benefit from it ultimately, and I think that we're all excited for more football. So that's one of the things that I wish we had under our belt, though, was just 10 more games so that we could really solidify, like, okay, what are the actual trends of this team and the other teams? Is Matthew Stafford going to play like this every single week? Is the deep passing going to be this successful every single week? Is it going to feel like that sort of explosive offense that it did for much of, almost all of, unfortunately, not all of 2018? Is it going to feel like something that can be even as explosive over and over and over again, like the Kansas City Chiefs, you know? So that's something that we'll get a better idea of after 10 games. I wouldn't necessarily expect him to have a passer rating of 156 after 10 games. I would think that Stafford's numbers are going to have to come down a little bit, although I would say that with the way that the NFL is going, they're really attempting to get as many quarterbacks over a 120 passer rating as they possibly can. Thankfully, Matthew Stafford is an example of just a great quarterback who had a great game. But I fear some of the guys that all of a sudden seem way too close to Matthew Stafford in the statistical departments, undeservingly so. But I do think that it would just be nice to see all of these players, see more of them, see what Van Jefferson's numbers are like after 10 games and how much he's been utilized, see, you know, how much Tutu Atwell has been utilized, if at all, to see what Sony Michel has been utilized like. So that's the only thing that I really hate is that, A, you can overreact to the first game of the season or any one game or any one quarter or any one play. It tends to naturally emotion have that overreaction, but then also be nice to get a greater, even greater sense of this team. And then finally, something I'm indifferent about, you know, from the Rams and Bears, I just think I'm indifferent about the LA's pass rush, and I'm just sort of indifferent about the run defense at this point against the Bears. I do think that they're There's understandably some negative reaction to the pass rush or the run defense in certain situations. Certainly, I think that David Montgomery got the better of a few defenders a couple times or a few times. And, you know, that'll happen because David Montgomery is a very good running back, as Sean McVay said after the game. And I think that overall, the defense, you know, shutting down Allen Robinson, really getting so much pressure on Andy Dalton that there was nowhere for Chicago to go, nothing for the Bears to do other than take the most conservative game plan approach possible and hope for a lot of yards after catch, which couldn't happen because of guys like Jalen Ramsey. And the value of Jalen Ramsey in this game, you know, cannot be overstated. So certainly I think that is one part of this takeaway here, is that I'm indifferent about that, and I'm indifferent about the pass rush because sacks are an overrated stat and I think misleading at times, and you really don't necessarily focus on the stats. You can focus on what the quick pass rush forced Chicago into when they couldn't really throw very many balls downfield, not past 10 yards, not down the middle of the field. Andy Dalton had nowhere to go. So that's it for my final three thoughts on the Rams and the Bears, and I'll be back again soon with another episode of Turf Show Times Radio.